Some of you are old enough to remember. Unfortunately, we have to admit that. That back in the 70s, there was a comedian named Flip Wilson. And Flip Wilson had his own TV variety show. And as part of that, he developed a character that he called Geraldine. Probably many of you remember Geraldine. She was quite the lady, to say so. And one of the things that Geraldine did that became kind of a national catchphrase was Geraldine would very often say, "I didn't do it. The devil made me do it." How many of you remember that? Even if you don't remember Flip Wilson, you have probably heard, "The devil made me do it." Well, unfortunately, I think that many of us grew up hearing that phrase, and I think maybe it has given us kind of a skewed attitude about the devil and temptation and testing. And there is a difference between those. And so this morning, I would like us to look at the Bible and to see some people from the Bible and how they dealt with temptation and testing and how they were able to overcome things like that. You know, passing tests and overcoming temptations is a way that we grow in our Christian walk. And every one of us that is a Christian should want to be growing. We should never be complacent in our Christianity. In the Bible, the definition of temptation is that temptation would be an enticement to act in disobedience to God's will. Temptation to sin is something that every one of us has faced. We all know what temptation is. None of us are exempt from it. And we also know that very often when we fall into temptation, that there are consequences that we have to deal with. Satan, you see, has only one goal in mind when he tempts us. He wants us to fail. Testing, on the other hand, is a situation that God allows us to be in, that the goal in that testing is for us to find out just what are we made of? Where do our loyalties lie? What is truly in our heart? And what is our true character like? What motivates us? J. Wilbur Chapman was a 19th century American evangelist, and he said this: "My life is governed by this rule. Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life is wrong for me, and I must, as a Christian, turn away from it." 1 Corinthians 10:13 in the Good News translation says that every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people, but God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and provide a way out. That's good news to us, isn't it? You know, tests and tribulations, they occur all throughout our lifetime, and they serve as an important part of our spiritual maturity. So this morning, we're going to look at some people in the Bible. We're going to look at how they handled temptation and testing. We're going to look and see if they were able to overcome those temptations and if they were able to be successful in the testing. Now, sometimes our testing is very painful, isn't it? Sometimes we have to go through some very difficult times, some very difficult trials, and yet When we are successful, when we are tested, God is glorified and we are overcomers. So how we respond to those tests and those temptations determines a lot about us. But if we are devoted to God's word, if we are willing to be in constant prayer, and if we will rely on the Holy Spirit, then we will be able to pass any test and resist any temptation. We don't have to go very far in the Bible, and we find out about the temptation and the testing of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and God said, "You are here, and there's only one condition that I want you to keep. Only one thing that you can't do." Genesis 2, 16 and 17, God said to them, "You may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat that fruit, you will most surely die." Now, this was a test that was designed for Adam and Eve so that they could show God their thankfulness to him, that they could show him how much they loved him and how much they trusted what he told them. All they had to do was just obey this one command. That was it. But failure, that's the goal of Satan. And he wanted to make Adam and Eve fail. You see, so often whatever God means for good, Satan takes it and he twists it and he makes it for evil. Let's turn to the book of Genesis and let's read in chapter 3 what happened. Genesis 3, we're going to read the first 7 verses. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from any of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." It's very important as we study this that we remember that Satan very seldom comes to us wearing horns and having a long tail and carrying a pitchfork like he's so often depicted. No, the Bible says he's crafty. And so he generally comes to us and presents sin to us in a very enticing and appealing way. He doesn't come to us like a hissing rattlesnake, but instead he comes to us like a beautiful emerald viper snake, one of the most beautiful snakes in the world. You have yet to convince me there are any beautiful snakes in the world, but science says. Someone once said that when they were talking about sin and temptation, excuse me, that temptation will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, and it will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. Temptation is usually very attractive and very appealing to us. And so Satan approached Eve, and he came at her kind of in a rather innocent way. But actually, he came at her, and it was a ploy to trap her, into sin. He directly contradicted what God had told Adam and Eve about the consequences of eating that fruit. God said, don't eat it. Satan said, nah, you're not gonna die. Just a little bit of fruit won't hurt you. Why, you eat that fruit and instead your eyes are gonna be opened and you will be just as smart as God is. Satan put Eve in a position to question God. He led Eve to think that God was trying to withhold something good from her. Eat the fruit and you'll be like God. But God didn't want Adam and Eve to be like him, and that was why he had forbidden them to eat that fruit, because eating it did mean death. All Eve had to do was to simply follow God's command, don't eat it. That's all she had to do. But my friends, it doesn't matter what Flip Wilson and Geraldine tell you. The devil did not make her do it. She did it on her own. And we need to remember that too. You know, I think for many, many people, they have used that excuse, the devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make us do anything. He presents something to us, but we are the ones that decide, am I going to take Satan up on this offer, or am I going to stand firm? The devil doesn't make us do that. And instead of trusting God and believing what he had told her, well, Eve thought about the ideas and the benefits that Satan had presented to her. She saw that the fruit was beautiful, just like he said. She tasted it, and it was delicious. And so she chose to follow what Satan said rather than following and regarding God's warning. But it was a disastrous choice, wasn't it? You see, the consequences were dire, and not just for Adam, not just for Eve, not just for their immediate family, but the consequences were dire for everyone that has lived since them. They introduced sin, and they fell into temptation. So what do we learn from Adam and Eve and their testing and temptation? Well, I think there's several things we can learn. First of all, we learn that Satan usually works through lying and deception. And his temptations always alienate us from God. And if we fall to them, they bring suffering, they bring judgment, and eventually they usually bring shame. But you and I, we are vulnerable to temptation, aren't we? So we need to be alert and watch for what Satan is trying to get us to do. And we can't be short-sighted. We have to think about the consequences of what's going to happen if we fall into Satan's schemes and into his traps. We need to think about the actions that are going to come as a result, because there will be consequences. And it won't just be me that is hurt. Others around me will be hurt as well. You know, it is very, very seldom that just one person is hurt when sin is in our life. It's extremely rare that others are not hurt as well. The devil, he puts a high price tag on being able to make us fail. That's his whole goal. We are a threat to Satan when we continue to walk and obey as God wants us to do. And he's going to go to great lengths to keep us from maturing in our faith, to growing in our spiritual walk. He wants us to fail. But remember this, that the temptation itself is not the sin. It's when we give in to that sin, when we fall for the devil's ploys and schemes. That is where the sin comes into it. Temptation itself is not sin. Well, there's some more people that we can look at in the Bible. I want us to think about Abraham for a little bit. Abraham, a man who was very mature in his Christian walk and in his faith because he had learned to obey God. He had learned that when God said he was going to do something, that he was faithful to every promise he made. Abraham's story is also found in Genesis. We're not going to read it this morning, but I would encourage you this week to pick up in chapter 11 and to read all the things that happened to Abraham. One of them is that God came to Abraham one day and said, I want you to pack up. I want you to move out. I want you to take your family. I want you to leave your home. I want you to go to another country. It was a country that Abraham had never seen before. But Abraham was faithful. And so they went on this journey. It was a hard journey. It was a dangerous journey. And it was a lonely journey. Abraham and his family had only God to depend on during that journey. Abraham's testing was a testing that required Abraham to exercise great faith, to remember how God had always taken care of them in the past. He had always protected them, and he had to remember how much God had blessed them as well. Abraham had to believe God, had to obey God, and he did, and he passed the test, and God was glorified. But later on, Abraham was presented with another test, a very, very difficult test. God came to him, and he said, take your only son, Isaac, the son you love, and take him to the land of Moriah, and there I want you to kill him and offer him as a whole burnt offering. I can't help but think that Abraham must have questioned God about that. I can kind of imagine him scratching his head and saying, God, would you say that one more time? Because I thought I heard you say to kill my son. Can that be right? But because Abraham's faith had grown over the years, and because Abraham knew that God had always been with them, had always provided for them, he was willing once more to do what God asked of him. His faith was what enabled him to obey an unimaginably difficult command. Now, there have certainly been other times when Abraham hadn't been so lucky. Times when he had fallen into temptation. Remember when Abraham tried to pass his wife Sarah off as his sister? But in those instances when he had failed, he had learned from those mistakes. And he had learned that giving in to Satan's schemes was not the thing to do. And so he had learned over the years to trust God. For us, that's a great reminder that we're not finished if we give in to sin. God still loves us, and he still accepts us. And God will always welcome us when we are repentant, and he will help us to have a fresh start. Testing is very key to our growing a strong faith. You know, faith is when you praise God in the storm, you trust him in the valley, and you follow him in the dark. Abraham's story is a classic example of what happens when we are willing to act on our faith. even when we can't see how there's any way possible that things will work out right, they will if we are trusting God, if we are putting our faith in Him, and if we are standing strong when those tests come. One more example that I want us to think about this morning is the man Job. Job's life and testing was a little different than the others. Job was a man who loved God. He was devoted to God. Job 1:1 says that he was blameless. He was a man of complete integrity. He feared God and he stayed away from evil. God loved Job and he had blessed him many, many ways. Job was a man of extreme wealth. He had a large family. He had many cattle. But God allowed Job to go through a horrendous testing. He allowed the devil to attack him, and the devil touched every aspect of his life. It was a contest between God and Satan, and Job demonstrated faithfulness throughout the test. The test brought great distress, great sorrow to him. At one point, he was covered with sores from the top of his head to the tips of his toes, excruciatingly painful sores. He lost everything that he had. He lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his livestock. Even his children were killed and taken from him. His friends turned against him. His friends made fun of him, told him how foolish he was to continue to trust God. And even his wife tried to get him to turn away from God. And yet, in spite of everything that he went through, Job remained faithful to God. At one time, Job said, "Even if God kills me, I still will trust in God." How many of us are willing to say that same thing? That's how much I trust God, that even if he kills me, I still will trust him. Job passed the test, and he glorified God in what he did, and God was faithful to him. Now, we learn a little different things from Job's testing, I think. First of all, we learn that being close to God, that is not a guarantee that we are not going to have to face temptations and tests and trials and afflictions. God's purposes are sometimes very mysterious to us. The Bible tells us that his ways are hidden from us. We don't always understand. And we need to remember, though, who is really in control. God is. God even controls what Satan can do to us. Satan can't touch us or attack us unless God gives him permission to do that. And God doesn't allow the devil to get after us unless it is something that is going to honor God in the end when we are faithful and when we obey God. Another lesson that we learn from Job is that God is not obligated or required to answer all of our questions, to answer all of our prayers. But that doesn't mean that God has turned his back on us by any means. In the last four chapters of the book of Job, we see that God used Job's trials to bring him into an even deeper relationship with God. And he also rewarded him with more than what he had lost in the first place. He gave him again the wealth that he had had before and even more wealth. And he gave him another family, more children than he had. Job's faithfulness throughout all of his sufferings glorified God then, But God is glorified today when we are faithful to him and when we are going through difficulties as well. We need to remember this, that when those sinful thoughts and ideas begin to come into our mind and we're tempted or we're tested, maybe we don't know which it is to begin with, but when those thoughts come into our mind, we have a decision to make. We can dwell on those thoughts and we can dream about them and we can put all of our thoughts into how appealing whatever it is we're being presented with. That's what Eve did, wasn't it? She looked at that fruit and she thought about it. And Satan is going to do everything he can to make us think that in the end everything's going to be okay. We're not going to get in trouble for what we do. Well, let me tell you, if that's the option that you fall for and the option that you choose, there are going to be dire circumstances in the end. But on the other hand, when those thoughts begin to come into our mind, we don't have to let them stay there. We can dwell on them. And it will be bad for us. So if when those thoughts come into our minds, if we just turn the heat up on them, they're going to go away. And we're going to be able to be strong and to be steadfast in what God wants us to do. Because if we don't entertain or toy with those kinds of thoughts, why, those suggestions aren't going to take root. And if they can't get a hold in our mind, then we're not going to have to face those painful circumstances. Martin Luther was talking about temptation one time, and he said this. He said that he couldn't keep the birds from flying over his head, but he could keep them from nesting in his hair. Well, that's how we need to be. We need to make certain that those thoughts don't stick around. We need to send them down the road. God, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to pray to you, and I'm going to ask for your help. You know, Jesus taught that. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to say, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Jesus himself was tempted. And so he can identify with us when we face temptation as well. Hebrews 2:18 says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. So how about it? Are you being tempted about something today? Are you being tested? Temptation will lead you away from God and you'll disobey him and you'll give in to those fleshly desires. But remember, it is not a sin to be tempted. It is sin when we give in to it. Testing, on the other hand, is God helping us and trusting us to make the right choice. He is never going to test us or tempt us with a goal of enticing us to do evil. He is not going to make something look appealing to us when it's not in our own best interest, because God loves us and he wants us to have the very best. That's how much he loves us. Victory over sin is possible. Remember that verse that we read at the beginning from 1 Corinthians 10. When you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and to provide you a way out. But whenever temptation comes our way, we need to remember that we are not the only one who has ever faced this. We're not all alone in that, but we can overcome it. God wants to help us, and he will help us by giving us a way out. But we have to take that escape. We can't just sit back. We have to do our part. If God gives us an escape route, we need to take it. We have to look for that because he will provide a way out. And when we do, God will be glorified and our faith will be strengthened. If the birds begin to build a nest in your hair, get them out of there. Get rid of those nests. I'm going to invite the praise team to come up at this point. I want you to remember to allow God to turn your temptations, those things that are meant to entice us to act in disobedience to God's will. We can turn those temptations into tests, something that will honor God, something that will allow God to work in our life for his glory. Because when we feel the desire to sin, we need to run to him and we need to ask him to take away the desire that has entered within us. God has promised that he will do that for us, and he will give us the strength to get out of those situations and those enticements. God is on our side, and he wants to help us to be strong. Where are you this morning? Are you facing some tests, some temptations? Maybe you haven't even determined which it is yet. But if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And it is probably Satan working, wanting to make you fail. Because that's what he wants, is failure in our lives. Directly opposite from what God wants. God wants the very best for us. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you. And Lord, we ask that, Lord, you'll work on our hearts, that you will help us to know and recognize temptation when it comes, that you will give us the strength, Father, to run from it, to run instead to you, to look for that way out of it that you always give us. Father, help us to be strong. Help us to be able to be an overcomer. Help us to trust you, because you have promised that you want only the best for us. Help us, Lord, to always look to you for our strength and comfort. Amen.